Hey, it's Lina Escamilla, and you're watching the Business Accelerator series. You're in the right place if you want to build and scale your business while having more freedom. And today I'm very excited about our interview. We have the agency advisor and mentor that guides marketing agencies through a proven framework for growing their agency faster. He has literally written the book for growing an agency from nothing to an eight-figure agency, and he's one of the most sought-out advisors to agencies in the world. By showing them an eight-system framework that worked for growing his agency, working with brands like AT&T, Hitachi, Lotus Cars, and eventually led to selling his agency. So welcome, Jason Swank. We're so excited to have you as part of the series.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great. So I'd love to start by knowing a little bit about your story. So how did you get started in the advertising world, and how did you build these amazing businesses to all the way to an eight-figure agency?
Yeah, well, I think it was all by accident, really. I mean, I owe everything to Justin Timberlake. So if and I don't know him at all, but one of my friends looked like Justin. So when NSYNC was really popular in the 90s, I created a fake band, fake website, fake tour, fake music, everything. And it was called In Shit. And it got really popular. And then people started asking me to design websites for them in 99. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so then literally it was just by accident. I knew how to do something cool. And then someone asked me to do it for them. I was like, okay, $500. And so that was my start. And then I just started doing that, going through, you know, the yellow pages, calling people and be like, hey, you don't have a website. You want a website? And they were like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. $1,000. And then we just kept doing it over and over again, then just started growing. And then I realized I needed to hire other people. I couldn't do everything. I couldn't do the project management, the design, all the different things myself. And then just, you know, started growing over time. And like you said in the intro, we started working with some really big clients and then just eventually wound up selling it.
That's an amazing story. That's an amazing. So you got started really back in the day when websites were probably, you know, not as in and necessary as nowadays. So you've really been since the kind of the very beginning of the internet and the website boom. Amazing. Yeah. I love the story. So, and I'd love to know what your recommendations are around, you know, what is the importance of having a strong marketing presence? I think that, and especially online, which is, I know where you're based at. Because a lot of entrepreneurs that watch us, you know, struggle with that. There are so many different ways to market yourself and online. So what is the importance and where should they focus?
Well, I mean, the cool thing about marketing is the bad thing about it is everybody judges a book by its cover. But the cool thing about building your brand is you can create your cover the way you want it. But you just need to know who you're going after. And I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people make is they don't know who their audience is. Mm-hmm. And then they don't know how to brand themselves. They try to brand themselves for everybody. Or they don't understand everything big starts off small. So they'll look at like a lot of people watching this maybe like, I want to be the next Gary Vee. I'm like, okay. And then they try to do everything he's doing. Well, you're going to crash. It's kind of like when Facebook started. Facebook started for Harvard students, Ivy League schools, high schools, ex-boyfriend and girlfriend stalking each other, all that kind of stuff, right? And so you got to kind of build from the bottom up and look how they actually got there, not what they're doing now.
That's great advice. And going a little bit deeper into that, you talked about, you know, finding your ideal clients. How can we do that and make sure that we're tapping into the right clients in order, you know, to not putting so much effort into finding clients that are not ideal and spending time on them and then, you know, having to move on and not really having results?
Yeah, well, only you can figure that out, right? Only you. There's no one that has a course or anything out there that can say, here's the most profitable niches. And I always tell people, you have to figure out what do you have passion in, what do you have extreme knowledge in, and what would you do for free, right? And if you answer those three questions, eventually you figure it out. And I'm not saying it's going to be really quick. A lot of times people have to do a process of elimination. I always tell people it's kind of like if you've ever been to like a big buffet, right? You're going to try everything out, and then you're going to be like, oh, I don't like that stuff. I don't like that stuff. And so you're just eliminating it for the second or third time when you actually hit the buffet before you leave just fat, right? And feel like, oh, I need a stretchy pants. So you need to kind of do the process of elimination, and then eventually you'll figure it out. But, you know, when you're going through, when you're first starting out, this is where a lot of people struggle, right? And you hear everybody saying, pick a niche, pitch it, pick a niche, pick a niche. You have to kind of try a lot of them out to figure out what's going to work. So that's why I said eventually you'll figure it out. And then you'll find that sweet spot where you wake up at night going, oh, I need to do this video. All right. Like, I obsess over my audience. I'm like, literally, like, it's a sick madness. I'm like, I'll be driving somewhere. I'll be like, oh, I'll be like, I'll have to pull over and write down a note for a goofy video I'm going to do.
I love that. Yeah. Always creating content. And that's a next question I'd love to ask you. How often do you recommend we should be creating content? And depending on your niche, does it vary? How do we determine that?
I think at least once a week. And you have to create foundational content. This is not a blog post, right? Anybody can write blog posts. I'm talking about doing a Facebook Live, doing a webinar, you know, doing a podcast, doing a video. You have to create this foundational content that shows your personality, that lets people connect to you outside of just text. Mm-hmm. And then what you can do from that is you can turn that into 1,000 different pieces of content. You know, the coolest thing, you know, look at what Gary's doing. Look at what I'm doing. Is like, we're taking this foundational content and then we're slicing it up 1,000 different ways. And then we're putting those sliced up micro content on certain platforms, right? So we can't take our podcast and put it on Instagram, but we can sure take little bits and pieces of it, put it on Instagram to build our brand. And then people are eventually say, man, you're everywhere. How are you doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, resourcing content. I love that. And I do that all the time. That's why I love doing videos, because then you have so the whole length of the video to take, as you said, like little bits and pieces and use it and reuse it, do a quote or a picture. And I think that's something to leverage your time better. And for those watching us that have no idea where to start or where to aim their content at. So there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Pinterest. And I know there are people that are, you know, are for one or the other. For people trying to look into, you know, deciding which is best for them or really knowing which one is going to have the most results, I know it might be tailored to each person, but do you have any advice around that?
Fish where the fish are. I mean, figure out what fish you're fishing for, right? So if you're going to fish for a whale, and I'm not saying fish for whales, right? Like, metaphor, right? I don't want the people coming after me. Like, if you're fishing for whales and you go to a river, well, you're going to be unsuccessful, or if you don't have the right bait. So you have to figure out, once you figure out your niche, all right, where are these people? Are they on Instagram? Are they on YouTube? Are they on Facebook? Where are they? Mm-hmm. And then just start where you think they are the most.
Great. And do you advise also on, you know, have you seen during your time working with so many entrepreneurs, what are the most common mistakes that you would advise our audience to avoid? Because I do see a lot of common mistakes that are being made, or people who are making content, but perhaps not really connecting to their audience. So are there a couple that you could share with us?
Yeah, they're making content about themselves. No one cares about you, right? It's about how can that content actually help the people listening? People are doing videos being like, look at me in my fancy car, right? And this is how you can become rich, rather than saying, hey, you might be struggling with X, Y, and Z. If you are, here's a 3-step process that worked for me that might work for you. And you're just being honest, right? And then another thing is treat every channel like a TV channel, right? If you're not going to talk the same way on CNN versus the Comedy Channel. And so a lot of people are looking at these social platforms and going, look, I'll create a YouTube video and then I'll do the same thing on Facebook and Twitter and all over. But you have to adjust it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I know you also have this great teaching you have that you teach to position your business as the choice, not a choice. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I kind of briefly gave you a little teaser on it, right? It's kind of like, think about it this way. Whose story do they want to hear? Do they want to hear their own story or yours? They want to hear theirs, right? It's kind of like, and I'll prove this model. If you went to a conference and some someone came up to you and you're like, hey, I am awesome. I won tons of awards. I'm rich as hell. I got this cool car. And do you want that? You'd be like, you're an idiot. Get away from me. Versus like, hey, why don't you come to the conference? You know, what are you struggling with? Who can I actually connect you with? So it's about telling a story for them. It's, and you have to position yourself as the trusted advisor, right? So if you think of like Star Wars, right? Obi-Wan is the trusted advisor. Luke Skywalker is struggling with something, right? Make them Luke Skywalker, right? And then you help them overcome a challenge that they have where they could be successful or they will fail. And then you can like kind of pull that leverage. So, and the easiest way to do this is just start off by asking questions. By asking questions, you're going to change the focal point to them, not you, because no one cares what you do. No one cares about you, right? Yes, you have to sprinkle a little bit of like salt, I call, and say, yeah, you know, I did build an eight-figure agency or I did do this, but so could you, right? And let me show you the plan. And the other part of it is when, so think about, if you think of the Star Wars movie and Obi-Wan, hopefully everybody knows Star Wars, but Obi-Wan always has a plan and he helps Luke Skywalker. Like when I used to race cars, I would teach people how to race and I'd be like, all right, you're going to go through this corner at 100 miles per hour. And people would be like, there's no way I'm going to die. And I'm like, well, here's the plan. And I'd walk them through the plan. I'd demonstrate it. And then they felt confidence. And that's the same thing when you're positioning yourself. So if you look at your website, like if you go to my website, jasonswank.com/about, you'll not see my story until the very bottom. I start off asking questions and then I start positioning a plan for them. And that's how you position yourself, you know, as the trusted advisor for the choice rather than a choice.
I love that. Yeah, first connecting with them because people actually want to share. That totally makes sense. You know, what they're about and what their needs are first, instead of hearing you babble on about your life and if you want to serve them. And going into serving in a better way, what would be your advice around crafting, you know, an offer that really kind of lands with your niche, just to make sure that you're not, you know, sometimes you're investing in marketing and I have even clients come up to me and say, you know, I don't know why it's not converting. And then sometimes we have to go back to point A and actually figure out, okay, what is it that you're selling and what's your messaging around it? So do you have any advice around that?
Yeah, I mean, once you narrow down the positioning, the offering is the most important part right after that. And a lot of us are pitching marriage right off the bat. And it's a big commitment, right? Like if I asked you to marry you right now, you'd be like, no, like, I don't know you. Like, you know, but like maybe after a year or whatever, right? It took my wife a while to say yes. And so you have to kind of think about what are the many milestones between and how can I actually solve a problem? So I always like to tell people, figure out what is the pain medication you can sell to them really quick that they have pain that overcomes it. And then once they have the pain medication, they feel better. They're never going to want to have that pain again. So what is the vitamin you can sell on the next step and so on and so on, and just build that ladder of, you know, trying to help them out and just sell, you know, position and offer the things that people actually need for themselves rather than what you want to sell them. A lot of people have like one thing and they just keep forcing it down their throats. But let me tell you, when you start trying to push people away, and you start trying to hold them up. Like a lot of times when people want to buy from me or engage with me, I'm like, hey, wait, this is a big decision. Take your time, talk to your advisors, talk to your wife, your husband, whatever it is, make sure it's the right decision. Because I only want to work with people that have thought about it. I don't want this like big buy from me really quick because those are always the worst. You know, they won't go through the program or they won't take the action, and then they'll want you more, which is crazy.
That totally makes sense. And I would, for those of people watching that might also be struggling, you know, with what content should I take out? How much should I give for free? I personally love, you know, giving so much value because people then can connect with you on a deeper level and then be more willing to be open to whatever you offer, or even you won't have to offer them anything. They're going to genuinely just want to ask you. So I'd love if you could speak about, you know, giving and how much you should give in free content versus when you start to charge.
Yeah, you give it all away. You do. Like, everybody, like, tries to hold back. You know, the thing is, like, with all my content, I give away all things. But the thing is that I charge for is the things that put it in the right order. So I'm giving out all the digits, right? But I'm not giving you the exact order and the phone number for you to put it together. Or sometimes I put out so much content, it's so overwhelming, they don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And so my programs are working with me are kind of like putting this into a nice kind of thing. But, you know, like my buddy Frank always says, and it's totally true, like the amount of money that you're going to make is based on the value that you actually put out in the world. So if you just want to put out your piece of crap thing that barely helps anybody because you're afraid you want to really charge for the other thing, they're going to think that's your best stuff. So you might as well put out your best stuff, help them out. And hopefully all of you guys have a bigger vision, right? So like the reason why I do all of this, people are like, well, you sold your company. Why do you work? I was like, well, I like making money. Like I like it and I like helping out. And I wanted to provide a resource that I wish I had. So that is our why. And that's why we put out all of our stuff. And the cool thing that happens a couple of years ago, I was like, I want to be the number one resource in the world for agency owners. And it was a big, and I was like, how do I measure this? And one of the things that my team came up with was like, well, maybe if we get an email a day that says, hey, you changed our business, you changed our life, thank you. And we're almost there. That doesn't mean I'm the number one person. I'm just based on my thing. Like I'm the number one person for my family, right? Based on my family results. That's the award I get. But yeah, so you just got to think about it that way. Put it out.
And what has been, you know, the best business decision or action you have taken within your business that has led to the most growth?
Probably that, you know, having that North Star to figure out, you know, why we're going to do it. And that's it. But that, like, if I didn't have the North Star, then I'd just be like wandering around. Like I wouldn't know where I was going, what I should be saying yes to, what I should be saying no to.
I totally resonate with that. That's something that I always ask, you know, what is your vision and what is the purpose behind what you do? Your big why? Because at the end of the day, that's what your clients are going to feel and connect with. And that's what's going to, as an entrepreneur, motivate you through the ups and downs to keep going because of your why. Mm-hmm. And I love how you measure it depending on how your clients email you. So that's wonderful. And now those are the wins. But in the case of the failures, have there been any failures that you kind of have considered that have been big lessons that at the moment perhaps were apparent failures, but really later contributed to your success?
I mean, every failure contributes to my success, and I fail all the time. You know, the one failure I never make is not making a decision, right? I think, you know, I had someone hit me up on Instagram stories. It was like, how do I get over fearing to fail? And I'm like, you've got to change your mindset. Like if you're afraid to fail, that means you're not making a decision. Like I execute quicker than anybody because I mean, I don't want to really mess up, but I know it's going to happen, but I can move on. You know, maybe one of the most recent ones, I think it's, and it goes to decisions, right? I think we make decisions based on emotional or strategic. And when it comes to business, a lot of times I've always been emotional. And I think a lot of people are like, if someone burns you, you're like, screw that dude. You know, I'm going to bury that guy. And that's an emotional decision. Like if he stood you up or something, and then but maybe if you had him on the show and you know, you invited him on for the second time and he freaking showed, maybe that would lead to something else. Right. And so I think some of the mistakes I've learned in the past is stop before you make a decision and go emotional or strategic, and then make the decision.
And the first thing you said also is great, you know, better done than perfect. This also, I think, when I now have for myself, I am such a perfectionist. You know, when I put out a landing page or an initiative, I used to always, you know, wait until it was perfect. And then just people start getting ahead of you, or other people start, you know, doing what you're doing, or you're delivering more content just because you're taking too long. And you're actually doing a disservice to yourself and to your audience, because sometimes people don't really notice those little details that you do like I do. They're more interested in the content. So if the content is great, I think you should just keep putting yourself out. And these social media platforms that now allow for that, like Instagram stories that really allow for this naturality and not having to have something pre-recorded and perfect, are even great. And I think nowadays, you know, a lot of shifting into that area of kind of being a little bit more natural and more transparent in your day-to-day and not having to have everything perfect or looking perfect every day. So I think that's so great a takeaway, because a lot of people, kind of entrepreneurs especially, kind of are afraid to put themselves out there, and then they think that they need, you know, the best camera, or they need the best microphone, or the best lighting, or makeup, or whatever, and they're just losing time, you know, and putting their message out there and potentially helping so many other people. So I think that's a great takeaway from our interview. Yeah. And on that note, I would just love to know if there's any, you know, last advice that has helped you or that you want to leave for our audience. Any big piece of advice that has helped you or might help them?
Yeah, patience. Patience and consistency is everything. You know, I have people that engage with me that have been watching and listening to my stuff for over 4 years. And so, and I'm sure I'll probably have, you know, people maybe in 10 years be like, I've been watching you for a decade, and be like, all right, cool. You know, and that's awesome. But, you know, and that's something I'm always working on too, but on certain things, like, you know, I have to work on patience. So I think everybody wants it now. They see the social lives all portrayed, the fake stuff out there, and they're like, why isn't it me right away? Mm-hmm. But I think enjoy the journey more than the end destination, because when I sold my agency about a couple of weeks after, I was completely depressed because I was like, is that it? So just realize that the true fun part about all this is the doing and the grind and all that kind of stuff. It's not the end. It's not making, you know, tons of money. I can promise you that.
I love that piece of advice. So important for the entrepreneurial journey to have patience, because things sometimes take longer than you think. And yeah, definitely enjoying the journey, because it's just constantly growing and, you know, and getting into new things, new arenas, even in marketing, you know, trying new things every day and new platforms that come up, or, you know, everything that just revolves around online is always shifting and changing. And so, Jason, you left a great free gift for our audience. I'd love for you to tell them a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, if you go to swank.it, you'll be able to get my free online course, which is basically going to walk you through kind of three videos. One is how to get the budget from the prospect every single time. Well, 99% of the time, right? You know, how to close the business a lot quicker, and a lot of other cool stuff in there. So if you guys go there, you can get access to the agency makeover course.
We'll leave a link right beside the interview so they can just click there and it'll take them to your free gift. And just to close out the interview, Jason has a challenge for you guys. So listen up for the challenge. And after you finish watching the interview and download or go to the freebie, then head over to our Facebook group to answer this challenge. So what would the challenge be, Jason?
Yeah, I want you guys to focus on getting rid of one thing you do each week. Just start eliminating that, outsourcing it, saying no. Right? It will allow you to focus a lot better and make sure that you're focusing on the thing that will actually get you to, you know, a little bit closer to what you want.
Great. So head over to the Facebook group and tell us what is that one thing you're leaving out of your week. And you can tag me and Jason within the group so we can see your answer. And also, if you have any questions around the interview or about Jason, make sure to leave them there and tag him. We'll be inside the group checking out your answers. Jason, thank you so much for being part of the Business Accelerator series. It was a pleasure having you and all these insights. And we look forward to connecting soon. You guys, definitely. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next episode.